AFI. Backstage Stories.
Hey guys, welcome to a very special episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. It's the Corona edition. Thanks, Corona. So probably a lot of you, just like me, are staying home. And you should stay home. I think it's smarter that you stay home, you wash your hands, you only wear masks if you've got symptoms. Just follow the rules, guys, trying to not spread this thing around even further. I am in Germany and things are shut down here pretty much. And so here we are at home. We're not in the studio. I'm alone today. And Mo will be editing and producing this episode from his parents' house. So, hi, Mo. I wanted to bring you guys a little bit of entertainment, seeing as how we're all kind of going to be stuck here, kind of trapped in a prison in a kind of way. Basically, I have a story that I was reminded of in the last couple of days when they were saying, you need to stay home. You know, when people were worried about getting cabin fever, and they were worried about feeling kind of trapped and getting stuffed up. And I think what's really important is that everybody kind of makes a routine. I mean, in my case, I decided to try and read X amount of pages of my book per day, or I tried to exercise from home or practice guitar for a certain amount of time. You guys can all make your own routines exactly as it fits your lifestyle, and I think that's important. And I thought, well, since everyone's just trapped at home, why don't I try and bring something kind of funny and something loose to kind of bring us back to reality in these really strange corona times. So this is a story about another time where I felt stuck in a kind of prison because it was jail. This is the story of the first time I got arrested. That's right, first time. Just for the record, I have been arrested twice, not like slammed on the ground, handcuffs on the back, but I have been read my Miranda rights two different times within 2 years of each other. So my teenage years were kind of an adventure. When I was 16 years old, I used to hang out with this group of four or five guys. It was the tradition that we would go to one of the friends' houses. I would say that maybe I should give them fake names, but I don't even know if they listen to this. So we're going to be truthful, baby. And actually, it doesn't matter because of both crimes. I was expunged. You'll see why. Everything's fine. So basically, one friend, his name is Demi, and Demi had a house that he shared with his mom. And that was just our hangout spot. We would always go there. It was our regular place. We'd go there and play video games and eat junk food. And this was even before we got into smoking weed. So everything was just very, teenagery. It all kind of stunk and we just played video games all the time. And there was one week, I think it was spring break, and a friend of ours came over to the house. His name was Joseph. And he said, guys, I figured out that we can break into the... Okay, let me back up a little bit. There's a company that in America, and I think it's also huge in Europe or all over the place. It's called Frito-Lay. So probably you're rolling your eyes like, yeah, of course we know what this company is. Frito-Lay makes a series of snacks. They make mini sausages. They make peanuts. They make potato chips. They make like all kinds of potato chips and sweets and stuff. So it's a humongous company. And in our hometown, there was this warehouse where they stored, and they didn't manufacture anything there, but I think they just got humongous shipments there. And then they had maybe 10 or 12 of these delivery trucks where you could, they would stuff it all with the snacks and then either deliver it out to vending machines or to schools and stuff. And the friend of mine said, well, guys, me and my friend Cody, we went to the warehouse and there's these trucks parked outside and there's no security. There's no cameras. There's no fencing. You can just drive right up to it. And it was really easy. We just broke into it and we stole a bunch of the snacks. They didn't even take the money. And actually we didn't either. Kind of a funny twist on the whole thing that might've been good in our favor. And we got really excited about it. I mean, we were teenagers, we were bored and we thought, this is great. Let's go steal a bunch of snacks. So it was one evening in spring break and the five of us got into a car. I think it was Demi's car, some big long SUV. And we drove up to the place, and it was just so easy. We just sat there. We were in the car. There was no fence. There was no cameras. Everyone was kind of paranoid, but kind of excited. And it was as simple as that. We got out, and the Joseph guy, he cracked open the door, and it was fucking Willy Wonka, baby. It was just, everything was there. Everything you could have imagined as like a chubby teenager in America was just sitting there in front of you. For free range, free picking. It was anything you wanted. And we just loaded the truck up with all of these snacks. I think in the end, we found out from the lawsuit, not lawsuit, but from the charges, that it was something like $900 or $1,000 worth of snacks. And I mean, and these were just like potato chips and cookies and sausages and stuff. So it was a lot. It was, I think it was like five or six huge, you know, 120 liter garbage bags full of this shit. And we just packed it into his car and we drove right back to Demi's house and we loaded it like fucking, like the Godfather or Scarface. We just took all of this, like we took our loot and we went up to his bedroom, which was upstairs, and he had a small like hidden door next to his desk, and we just packaged all of it into his attic like it was just stacks of cash. Like we were just this cool, these cool bank robbers. And yeah, for two or three weeks, we were living on cloud nine. I would just go to his house every single day, and just the candy wrappers and the snack wrappers and the crunches and the slurps and the smacks and everything. It was just unbelievable how much shit we had in this house. And we just went to town on it. And this is where the story gets kind of interesting, because it's pretty straightforward up until this point. You know, a bunch of kids stole some shit and they're going to get in trouble. Well, the way that we got caught, I think, is very interesting. So in the meantime, after we had stolen everything, the guy who did it the night before, Joseph, he and his friend Cody went with Cody's brother, Clint. And Clint, in that meantime, went to this in the night sometime. He drove to this building that was connected to our school. It was called the VoTech. I think it's Vocational Technical School. And that's where people would learn trades. And he drove by in his truck one evening with his friend BJ. His name was BJ. BJ filmed on his phone Clint taking a gun out of his the backseat of this truck and shooting at the school, at the building, shooting certain windows out of the school. He didn't hit anybody, but people were inside the building, and it was just this, it wasn't this like Columbine situation, like he went in there maliciously to kill people. He just was kind of dumb and young and just shot at a building because it was exhilarating for him. And BJ filmed it. So, Clint is an idiot because of obvious reasons, but also because he went to back to the school and he couldn't hold it in that he was the one that everyone was asking, who shot the school? Who shot the school? It was a big deal in that small town. And Clint couldn't keep it to himself. He was, you know, passing the rumor around, and he got the video from BJ, and or maybe he filmed it on Clint's phone. Either way, he was showing the video around, and some of the kids at school got pretty uncomfortable with that. One of the kids went to the baseball coach, told the coach that Clint was the one. There's proof on his phone. So then Clint goes to the coach goes to the principal. The principal goes to call the police, and they call Clint. They go to the VoTech. Clint was actually in class at the VoTech when the cops pulled up. I think that's so ironic. They pulled him out of the truck and they started looking in the car. I don't remember if they found the gun, but then they were looking through his phone. And a funny anecdote here. I remember the story goes that he was standing there in handcuffs and the cops were looking through his phone for the video. And they found something that had like an interesting title. I don't remember what it was called, but basically it prompted the police officer to ask him, like, is this it? And Clint kind of got a smirk on his face and said, I'm not sure. Maybe it is. Maybe you should click on it. And officer opened it up and it was a video of him getting his dick sucked by his girlfriend. And don't you love that all of this happened with his best friend being called BJ? It's a perfect world. So anyway, they got Clint, they pulled him into the police station, and then there in the police station is where he basically cracked. The interrogation was going on, and they were asking him, you know, all right, Clint, we have all this evidence, backing up our investigation, so why don't you tell us everything you've done? And then he was like, well, I shot the school, and I broke into some cars. And, and I robbed the Frito-Lay truck. And they were like, what? That was you? I didn't even know that was you. We weren't even looking for you for that, but that was you. Okay, that's great. That's genius. Okay. So then they said, who are you with? And then they called in Cody, and they called in Joseph. And then they got Joseph in there from school and freaked him out so much, they were like, we know you robbed the Frito-Lay truck. Tell us all about it. And he was like, well, the first night I was there with Clint and Cody, and the second night, he didn't say anything about a second night. There was a second night? Oh my goodness, there was a second night. On the second night, I was there with Demi and blah, 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 and blah, 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 and Jordan. And they were like, we've got the whole gang now. And that's how they got us. I remember I was at home and I was waiting for a friend to come over and play some music. And the police officer rolls into my house and my mom was taking a nap and he just knocked on the door, woke her up, got me in the car. She's looking at me like, what did you do? And I was looking at her like, I don't know, but I knew. And then I got in the car and I remember sitting in the front seat of the cop car. I didn't have handcuffs or anything. And we were driving down this small street to the police station, and there was a car in front of us that slowed down a lot, like a little under the speed limit. And I remember asking him, when cars slow down in front of you because they're scared that you'll pull them over, do you ever get bored of that? Or do you ever wish that they would just go faster? And then he kind of repositioned himself in his seat, and he was kind of like, sometimes it's better that you just stay quiet. And took me to the police station and put me in the holding cell. And that's what we were trying to get to. That's what we're trying to connect everything together here. You know, coronavirus, being trapped at home in one place. That's the whole reason of this story, is they put me in the holding cell. And I was in there with you know, there was some drunks in there, and Joseph was in there, and he was just, he didn't give a shit. He was laughing about everything, and I was so scared. And I had to fill this paperwork out. My mom was there, and then they had to put up, like, in America, you have to, you know, there's like a bail. You have to pay money to get people out of jail before their trial, or if there's a trial or whatever. And they had to put up a property bail, like basically give the truck, my dad's truck, up to the state to get me out of the jail. And everything worked out. The company didn't want to press charges against a bunch of like 15 and 16 year old kids. So they dropped the charges, and I think we had to pay a fee, and then we had to do 90 days of community service. Or was it, maybe it was like 35 days of community service. I think it was like my whole summer, essentially. And that's a whole different story for another time. That was a whole adventure, a big long month full of working with crazy people and prisoners. And it's a really, really good, really good story. But I just wanted to bring you guys something funny, something entertaining about being trapped. And just like with me being a kid stuck in a holding cell with a bunch of drunk people, it will pass. We will escape, and we will be back in our normal lives. We will be back in our normal lives soon enough. And I'll leave you with this. I thought I might play a song for you guys. Something from the unreleased new album that I'm thinking about releasing maybe later in the year now because of everything going on. I think that's what I'm going to do. And thanks for listening, and stay safe, and take care of yourselves in this crazy time. And If you enjoyed this, please tell your friends to listen to the show, and please go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, and give us a good rating. It really helps new people find the show, and chances are there's someone out there living abroad right now, stuck because of Corona, and could really use a voice that they can connect to. So every little bit helps spreading the word of the show. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Haven't seen you in a while. Wonder if you got yourself a brand new style. And I hope you are happy. And I hope you're smiling back at me. I was thinking, I know it's tough. Could you send a simple message from above and let me know you are happy? Let me know you're smiling back at me. Have you wisdom or some advice? How'd you get through harder times throughout your life? How'd you show you were happy? How'd you know to keep on smiling back at me? If I was weightless and I could fly, I'd log 1,000 hours buried in the sky. And I know I'd be happy. And I know I'd be smiling just for me, yeah.
All right, guys, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Saints are coming through, and it's all over now, baby blue.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prince und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.